We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Hello, and welcome back to the Independent Republic of Soccer. I'm Colin McCourt, and the summer of soccer is just getting started. There is 24 teams ready to play 52 games across 9 cities over 1 month for the most prestigious prize in women's soccer, of course, the Women's World Cup. And I'm delighted to say that joining me here is defender for the Utah Royals, Sydney Miramontes. Sydney, how's it going?
Good, Connell. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no worries at all. I mean, it's a pleasure to have you here. So the World Cup, it's just started. France have just kicked us off underway. This is definitely, from what I can see, it's definitely the biggest World Cup in the history of the women's game. The U.S. women's national team, they're going in here as joint favourites with France, 7-2. I think we can see why, just based on that game that just went on there. And
yes,
that is despite the last big tournament. The U.S. actually went out in the quarterfinals of the Olympics in 2016. Mm-hmm. Do you think that exit, early exit of the last tournament, do you think some of the U.S. women's national team will be using that as some sort of motivating factor to maybe prove a couple of doubters wrong going into this tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we remember some of those comments and hard feelings that the players had after the Olympics, especially after, you know, winning the 2015 World Cup. But I do think that, you know, while that might be a slight motivator for them, I don't think it's, you know, their main mission. I think there's so much more that the U.S. Women's National Team is doing right now in promoting and so while I think that's part of it, I think there's a much bigger picture for them, which is really neat.
Mm-hmm. We know the strength and depth the U.S. has. I mean, especially up top, that three-pronged attack of Megan Rapinoe, Tobin Heath, and Alex Morgan. Of course, Carly Lloyd coming off the bench as well. So if there's one thing we're going to be sure of, it's the U.S. are going to score goals. But from what I've heard from some pundits and people around the game, some causes for concern may be defensively. Being a defender yourself, I'm sure you're pretty familiar with some of these players. Do you think those concerns are justified, or is it just a matter of the attack being so elite that the only place to really pick holes is in the defense?
Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up between both because, again, like you said, we have such quality up top where it's hard to pick them apart. And I do think the back line that we have is, you know, couple of younger players that haven't played up on this World Cup stage before or even in the Olympics. And so I think that's, you know, it's an easy assumption for people to nitpick the back line. But I also think that they've prepared. They are getting ready and understand that this is the World Cup. And so I think we're going to see some really, really strong performances from some of those younger players that, you know, weren't there in 2015 and, you know, in the Olympics as well. So I do think it's easy to pick them apart, but I think they understand the task at hand. So I'm excited to watch them.
Yeah, because I was just looking at a couple of the fixtures. They haven't conceded a goal in four games, the last four games. I mean, I know they've been friendlies and stuff, but that's still... It seems to be exactly as I said. It seems to be just because they can't really pick a hole up top because they're just so strong. It's the only places to really pick holes. But one team that would be trying to pick holes in that U.S. defense and could be a major obstacle for the U.S. are France. We just seen what they just done to South Korea. They cruised to a 4-0 victory. And
yes,
we know that if the U.S. tops their group and France top their group, they're going to meet in the quarterfinals. First of all, what did you think of the French there? Were you impressed by their performance?
Just their performance against South Korea?
I mean,
obviously, first game of the tournament, you're going to have all the emotions, the nerves, the excitement. And I think France kind of just took it to South Korea. And, you know, they kind of made their statement that, you know, I'm sure they hear, you know, U.S. is favored to win as long as them, but I'm sure that they don't appreciate that very much. So they came out with quite the statement today. I mean, looking at their attack, I think when they are at their best, they're insanely good. And I think that'll be a tough task for that U.S. defense that lacks maybe some of that experience in a couple of areas. I think they look strong today. So I'm sure the U.S. is going to watch that game back a few more times before they take the field on Tuesday and just prepare for France as well. I think that's who they have their eye on right now.
Yeah, I was very impressed by them, honestly. I thought the captain, Henri, I thought she was superb. And the centre half scored the two goals from the header. I think they'll be really dangerous from set pieces. So I think that's something the US may have to watch out for.
Definitely.
One thing that is absolutely new this year is the introduction of VAR. VAR is going to be used for the first time in the Women's World Cup. Now, I don't know. Recently, we've seen the best and the worst of VAR. Honestly, we've seen how successful it can be last year at the Men's World Cup in Russia, but. Mm-hmm. We'll have to acknowledge that there are going to be teething problems too. First of all, how do you feel about VAR being introduced?
You know, I mean, not having had it be a part of a game I've played in, it's hard for me to depict it. I do think that, you know, at this level and the attention that the World Cup brings and the way that the game is evolving, I think that whether we like it or not, it is going to be a part of it. And I think it makes the game more competitive. And I'm sure we'll see some controversial issues with it throughout this tournament, as we saw last summer in the Men's World Cup. But I think I do like it. I do like that we're progressing and we want to make this game as fair and as accurate as possible, and I think that is something that we're going to have to get used to. So, yeah, I mean, we did see it took away a goal for France just a little bit ago, mm-hmm. which I'm sure they're not too happy about, but, you know, I just think that's part of the evolvement of the game and something that we'll have to just go with.
And see, and that goal that they just disallowed for France, that's one of the reasons that I'm kind of on the fence, honestly, about VAR, because... Technically, is it the right decision? Yes, it was. But is that what it was brought in for? You know, hurling decisions that, I mean, that it was exactly the same last night. And I think England had something very similar. Jesse Lingard was maybe off by a foot.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose what you're saying is correct. If they get the right decision and it's accurate, nobody can really argue. So is that the general feeling around the other players that you've been mixing with? Are they excited about it coming in or do they have trepidation?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a mixed feeling because I think, you know, especially being around a lot of players that have been around the game for a very long time and, you know, even coaches that have been around 3 years, played in a lot of different countries. And I think they argue the fact that it takes away from the tradition of the game. So I do. I get that, and you get a lot of opinions along with that. But, again, like I said, I think the game's evolving and we have to adapt at the times and what's going to be right for the current generation, and so I think it's here to stay, and I think we're going to see more of it, whether we like it or not.
Absolutely. Sydney, I'd like to touch on your career a bit for a second if we can. So you're currently at the Utah Royals. You just spent a year in the Australian W League, am I correct there?
Yes, so I actually spent about 4 months. The Australian W League, it's a short 4 month season, and it actually runs from October to February, which fits in nicely with the NWSL off season.
Okay.
So, last season I was with Utah Royals, and then as soon as the off season started up, I headed over to Australia for a few months, and then now I'm back here in Salt Lake City.
How was your experience in Australia?
It was amazing. You know, saw some hard times in terms of results with the club, but the experience for not only me as a professional soccer player, but just as a person, it was really good for me to get out of my comfort zone, see a different part of the world, and really just continue on in my development as a young player. So I have really, really positive things to say about it, and. Yeah, the weather wasn't too bad. I got to miss out on winter over here in the States, so I wasn't too upset about that either.
Yeah, sure you weren't, especially when you were looking at the weather that was here in Kansas City.
But yes.
Are you glad to be back in the U.S. now to continue on with Utah Royals?
Absolutely. You know, the W League is a competitive league. It's doing a lot of great things, especially, you know, providing opportunities for players over there. But I think I did miss a little bit of that. More professionalism over here in the NWSL. So I was really excited to get back, and it kind of just reiterated my passion and you know, the embracing the grind of getting to play this sport for a living. So absolutely, I mean, loved my time there, but it really made me realize that I have something special here in Utah. And yeah, I was really excited to get back as well.
That's good. The Australians themselves, just speaking about them, the brilliantly nicknamed the Matildas, they've had a rocky lead up to this tournament. A scene that they had, they fired their longtime coach, Alan Stajic.
That
was apparently due to creating a poor culture around the squad or something along those lines. So you were out there when, I don't know if you were there when that actually happened, but what was the vibe out there? Do they have a lot of expectations for this team? Because I know they have a star striker in Sam Kerr, so they could do some damage, but that losing a coach so close to the tournament is going to affect any team.
Right. So, yeah, actually the transition of coaches happened while I was there. And, you know, there was a lot of media going on around that. And, you know, you obviously hear different sides of different things, but I, you know, the players were upset, but, you know, they wanted to continue on and make sure that they were going to play and make a statement that, you know, this wasn't going to define them, this wasn't going to define the team. And I think there's a lot of media going around, you know, with the Australian national team, because this probably is the strongest squad that they've had before, and this is their best chance to finish well in a World Cup. So, you know, it's unfortunate for them, and especially, you know, the players, but I think something I took away from playing with many Australian players is just they have this work ethic, they have this grind, they love their country, and that really sets them apart from, you know, maybe some other countries. And so I think, you know, they're going to give it their all, and I think they've had time to kind of work through those issues and figure out, you know, who are we, what's our new identity, especially moving forward with a new coach. Yeah, while I think it was a little bit of a setback, I think, again, they understand that this is the World Cup and the strides that they could potentially make and, you know, make an impact for their country. So I'm excited to watch them as well.
So it's another strong team. That's one thing I've noticed since I've been researching a lot of the teams for this tournament in the past few weeks. Not only does it seem to be the biggest tournament in the history of the women's game, but it also seems like it's the most competitive.
As we've
already mentioned, the US, we know what they bring, we know what the French bring, but the two times winners, Germany, the English look good, players like Nikita Paris and Steph Houghton and stuff, the Dutch are European champions. Which teams are you looking forward to seeing to play here, and are there any dark horses that you think could maybe surprise a couple of people?
You know, I really think Spain is going to be, that's kind of my dark horse. I believe they went 8-0 in qualifying, didn't concede a goal, or concede any points through their qualification. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Spanish-style soccer and obviously enjoyed watching the men play. Currently with Utah Royals, we have a former Spanish national team player in Veronica Boquet, and she is just pure class. And so I've really enjoyed, you know, learning about the Spanish style of soccer and, you know, just their culture. And again, I think Spain is kind of peaking at a right time, and I think they're gonna surprise some people this World Cup. Obviously, I'm excited to watch the U.S. I think, you know, they have received some criticism and maybe not has been as consistent as teams in the past, but I think that, you know, this team is just going to come together in the big moment on the big stage, and I'm excited to see what kind of damage they're going to do.
That first game is on Tuesday against Thailand. I believe it's a 2 p.m. kickoff. Thailand, not notoriously a great side. Do you expect this to be a routine win for the U.S.?
Okay,
that's fairly.
Yeah.
fairly
no,
valid.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with all respect to Thailand, I think the U.S. knows that, you know, they get to kind of have a buffer game here in the beginning, but I think that they're going to take that as seriously as they would any other opponent, and this is an opportunity for them to go in and set the tone early. And again, kind of like what France was able to do today against South Korea, come in and make a statement and say, we're here, you know, we're here, we're the big dogs, and let's get this started off right.
Look, Sydney, I could talk to you all day about this, honestly, but I realize you have a life. So I just want to thank you, honestly, for joining me, and I hope to speak to you again soon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I love this stuff, and it's a big time for women's soccer, and I'm really excited to see, you know, obviously the games in this tournament, but also the impact that it can make all across the world after the conclusion of it. So yeah, thanks for having me, Connell.
Well, that's it. You're always welcome here to talk about it anyway. The U.S. will play Thailand on Tuesday, 2 p.m. You can get in daily updates on Sports Radio with 10 WHB and twice weekly updates here on the Independent Republic of Soccer. Thank you for joining me, Sydney.
That's it. No problem. Take care.